Before we go into executive session, we still have the speakers working, don't we? Before we go into executive session, we will have our third recognition of the public on any item of concern, any question. I would remind members of the audience to keep your comments to 3 minutes. Please come up to the mic, state your name and address, and again, keep your comments to 3 minutes.
Jim, is this for the ARRA? Remember, we're supposed to have a public comment on that agenda items before the recognition of the public?
You can just put the two together, Jim.
Remember, there was two agenda items. You had one for the solar, and then you had the ARRA recognition of the public agenda.
Mark, you're right. And we'll do, Kevin, we won't put them together. Any comments from the public on ARRA funds? More than welcome to come up to the mic. State your name and address. This is strictly on ARRA funds first.
Stan Gully, 115 Petticoat Lane, Annandale, New Jersey. The conversation that I heard sounded eerily familiar because it's not about the outcome, it's about the process. I have no doubt that we have an expert in the room who best knows how to spend these funds. But I also have no doubt that we have multiple stakeholders who represent taxpayer interests and represent teacher interests and teachers themselves who ought to have some input into the process. And I'll use an example to highlight what I'm talking about. If someone comes to me and gives me a chance for a wish list for $400,000, my wish list will be quite long for how I can improve my job. But it may or may not fit into the strategies and goals of my school. I teach at Rutgers University. It may not fit into the strategies of my school or my university. And if we think about it in terms of investment, you can go to a grocery store and buy organic vegetables one at a time until you've squandered your entire budget, or you can go to the nursery and buy organic vegetables and build a garden. My sense is that these funds were designed to build a garden and not to shop off a wish list. And when I see this piecemeal approach, oh, the board didn't like that, they had questions, let's buy this instead. It suggests to me that you have compelling needs, but there has not been a 2-year-long discussion about how those funds should have been spent, and that bothers me. Thank you.
Any other comments about ARRA funds? Seeing none, we'll open up to the third general session or third public comment section. Any questions or concerns for the board? Please come to the mic, state your name and address, and limit your comments to 3 minutes, please.
Long time no see. Stan Gully, 115 Petticoat Lane, Annandale. My open comment is that I am very disturbed that there has not been a clear transparency to the process for engaging in the evaluation and consideration of the contract renewal for Mr. Carroll. It's very possible that Mr. Carroll is the very best superintendent that exists in New Jersey. It's also very possible that things that I've heard and that I've detailed in the Hunterdon Democrat may be of grave concern. I don't understand how the board can engage in contract evaluation and consideration without getting input on a broad basis from the community. And in fact, that's one of the charges as listed by the New Jersey Association of School Boards, is to solicit input on process and procedures and approaches that are used when decisions are made that influence taxpayers. I myself don't really know, and I understand also that the evaluation process can be closed. I've read the New Jersey Administrative Code. I have done a lot of research, and I know that that's a closed process. But I also know from talking to the Hunterdon County of Superintendents of the school district that the procedures, the measures, the goals, the approaches, the thoughts that are used to evaluate are open to the public. So for example, if you're evaluating someone on the basis of whether or not its cost per pupils is going down, that's a criteria and we should know. And if you're evaluating for the number of students who have passed, you know, at the 90th percentile, that's a criteria that we should know. We don't need to know the details of that discussion, we should know what the criteria are. And if there are multiple criteria, as there should be, I teach performance management at Rutgers University. You always have multiple criteria for evaluation. We should know how those things are weighted. And the lack of transparency on my end, maybe you have tried to communicate to us. I have heard nothing. I've talked to parents. I've talked to teachers. I've talked to office staff. I've talked to the county. I've talked to the New Jersey School Board Association. I cannot get any information about how the evaluation procedure has evolved, and that troubles me very much because we're about to make a decision in one night, 2 weeks from now, on a contract that could be worth $500,000 or more, easily. So I would like the board to consider the public's input and seek it actively. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Mary Reese. I'm 70 Deer Hill Road, Lebanon, New Jersey. First of all, I want to say that I've been a resident for 19 years, and I've been a parent of children in the school district for 9 years. I'm very uncomfortable with the way this is set up tonight to be able to speak about anything that we want to with Mr. Carroll sitting right here. And I have to tell you that the reason why is because I'm going to talk about the fact that I do not believe that he should be reinstated. During the time that Mr. Carroll has been school superintendent at Clinton Township School District, he has not shown himself as the leader that I would like to have for the children's school district. While trying to formulate my ideas about the subject, I looked up a description of what leadership is. According to the United States Air Force, leadership is the art of influencing and directing people in such a way that will win their obedience, confidence, respect, and loyal cooperation in achieving common objectives. I do not believe that Kevin Carroll is that leader. The teachers of our school district, who are the employees of Mr. Carroll, do not feel respected by him. They are not inspired by him. In fact, there's a very adversarial relationship among the teachers in this district and the superintendent. From talking to many of them, I know that they're not asked their opinions, and in many cases, he doesn't even know their names. At the very least, he should be familiar with the top performing teachers who have been employed by the district for many years. I'm not in favor of how Mr. Carroll handled the possible environmental problems at PMG. Last summer, I was one of two parents who brought the problem to Mr. Carroll and Mr. Dinkoff to discuss the PMG cancer rates. During the meeting, Mr. Carroll listened to what we had to say and then did nothing to respond to it for several weeks. We lost precious time that we could have spent gathering evidence. 10 months later, we have only done a preliminary investigation. More work needs to be done. I do not approve of the way that Mr. Carroll proceeded with this investigation. I've heard many complaints from parents regarding Mr. Carroll's, regarding his lack of follow-through on the strategic planning committee, which I was not part of. Many residents spent precious time volunteering for this committee and felt that they did not get resolutions to their planning. Many of them are still waiting for Mr. Carroll to get back to them. The same issue happened with the Wiki. While I believe this was a positive step, there was quite a delay in answering Wiki questions and responses. One of the last items to be posted in the open discussion section was dated June 1st. The author of the post stated that she wrote it on the morning after the school board meeting. That would have been May 25th. Why was there such a delay on this? It's certainly not the only time that it's happened. Parents have also commented on it on the Wiki before. Instead of giving parents a feeling of being listened to, it only seems to aggravate them when their comments and concerns are not answered in a timely manner. I'm also aware that it's been noted by parents, taxpayers, that Mr. Carroll attends very few community events. He should try to be present at as many of the school functions as possible. Lastly, I believe that Mr. Carroll did not take the time to be informed about the middle school model, which has been very successful since being introduced at CTMS. I applaud that it was put back in place, but we should not have had to have the fight in order to continue with it. I believe Mr. Carroll should have asked input from the teachers and administrators to fully understand the model. In my opinion, I believe that if Gerard Dalton had felt that he was being listened to as an employee, as a leader in our system, that he would not have left. Mr. Dalton had an excellent record and was well-liked by the citizens of Clinton Township School District. Thank you for listening to my opinion. I invite the Board of Ed members to contact me if they'd like to discuss this further. Thank you.
Evening again, Nick Corcadillis, Clinton Township. This board has historically asked for public input in serial fashion on various big issues, including working on a strategic plan, Several years ago, we had meetings for stakeholders running for months on understanding the school budget. We have done a variety of projects like that where the board has brought people in on a regular basis to talk about a topic until it's maybe talked to death or just talked through to a reasonable solution. Conclusion, I'm sorry. Several months ago, the board attempted to vote on an early contract renewal for Mr. Carroll. I don't know, how many months ago was that? Someone just said to me it was November.
I think it was the end of February.
It was the end of February. So since the end of February, as Mr. I'm sorry, his name was Gully?
Yes.
Spoke earlier. There's a process prescribed. Getting public input, stakeholders, is a prescribed process. And you've known at least since February, since you attempted this before, that time was coming up to make a decision. And you also knew there was an enormous amount of public input at that meeting. So I'm really just stunned that there has been no special meeting, there has been no input from stakeholders on a level like this kind of meeting or the kind we've had on other issues before. So it's just absolutely stunning to me that you expect the public to show up on the 27th, provide public comment, and equally stunning to me that you expect board members to retreat into an executive session to discuss what you just heard and make an informed decision. That's not public input. That's not a public process. When I look at the material facts, which I'll talk about on the 27th, because I will be here, but what I'm concerned about is a lot of my fellow residents won't be here because June 27th, people are gone. Our schools are closed. People are on vacation. It's a very unfortunate time to plan a key event like this. Mark, you said earlier that the board doesn't run the schools. Our professionals do. Well, your main professional is sitting over there, and you're expecting to make a vote on the 27th on the same night that you take public comment when most of our community is probably going to be out of town. I think that's irresponsible. I think it's sick. And what it suggests to me is that there is a concerted effort on the part of some members of this board to keep the public out, because I can't get past the fact that you started this back in February. So no one can claim that this suddenly has come up. I've been sending emails to the administrator, to Mr. Dinkoff. Mark, you've communicated with me. And I've been asking the question, why is it more important to schedule a special session on solar panels and on ARRA, with all due respect to the importance of both issues? But it's not important, relatively speaking, not as important or more important to schedule special meetings for the public and stakeholders on the reinstatement of the contract of our superintendent. Specifically, what I'll talk about in a couple of weeks is the fact that Mr. Carroll has negotiated a 4% increase for administrators in this district. And yet we're talking about half that amount, and I'll provide the numbers and calculate for you at the next meeting. Half that amount, less than half that amount for our teachers. Principals get grandfathered on the 1.5% worth of health benefits, our teachers don't. There are huge problems in how he's handled this district and how he's handled our teachers. And members of this board have supported all of that. And I disagree with you, Mark, when you say that the board doesn't run our schools. Technically, I know that. Just as a council technically doesn't run Clinton Township, the administrator does. It's the elected officials who are the elected representatives of the taxpayers and the residents and the parents and the kids in this district. If the elected representatives can stand here with a straight face, Mark, and say, you are not responsible for the ultimate decisions in the management of this district, then representative democracy is a fantasy. Because if all we have to say is, we're the elected officials, but the professionals that we hire and pay make all the policy decisions. They run the operation. Then this is not democracy. We have people from out of town running our operations, and that's not right. So I want to suggest to all of you that you figure out, I don't know what the deadline is for making a decision legally on this contract. I understand that you have to do a yay or a nay, or there's an automatic renewal of the contract. You don't have a whole lot of time, and I don't know how you're going to bring your stakeholders together. And I think you should be embarrassed that you haven't done that yet. Thank you.
Rachel McLaughlin, 2 Squires Lane. I had a question about the strategic plan that I published off the website. According to the strategic plan, which was adopted on May 27th of last year, it will be reported annually, and I haven't seen any published reports, but according to the goals, it states that we will have published reports. So could you possibly tell me when that will be updated?
Published reports would be out annually, meaning at the end of the school year. As we're closing out, Rachel, I would like to get that information from the departments and the schools. So that usually takes some time.
So would that be the June 27th meeting then? We would have a report on the strategic goals?
Actually, probably the July meeting was where the report out from the year before.
Okay, and then I have a follow-up question about one of the goals is to publish curricula online, and it's very hard to find anything about the curriculum online. Are there plans to put that onto the website?
Well, it actually came up as a part of the board retreat, and that will be something that we are working on this summer.
Okay. As many people have come up and talked about tonight, one of the aspects of evaluating the superintendent's contract would be to get public input. And I know that in the district I work in, we do a district climate survey. So I recommend to the board that you consider having a district climate survey, not only for the parents in the community, but also the staff members, so you get a sense of how each building is run by each administrator and what the staff actually perceives of their administration and the way the leadership is running. And I know that on the 27th I will be here, but I'm not sure how many of these people in the audience will still be here. So I would like to just ask the community, how many members tonight have come out to support the renewal of Kevin's contract? Can anybody raise their hand if they're here to support Kevin's contract? So that should give you a representative sample of what the community is, even though it's a small fraction. Thank you.
Hi, Diane Merman, Lebanon.
I'm sorry, your name, please?
Diane Merman.
Stay close to the mic.
I'm disappointed because it appears that you, Kevin Carroll, as superintendent, did not have the overall well-being of our children, as well as the staff and teachers, at the forefront of your decisions based on the way in which you handled the health concern at Patrick McGarren School. Your lack of concern is not only evident through misleading statements you've made, but the clearest example to me is how you have stalled at every point I see possible the execution of a proper investigation to discover if there is any environmental cause leading to all the illnesses past and present at Patrick McGarren. I believe that if it wasn't for the repeated insistence of concerned parents, teachers, and staff, you would not have done anything at all. Nobody wants a problem at Patrick McGarren, but sweeping it under the rug doesn't result in answers. It only wastes precious time and gives people angst. I can't understand what could be more important than pursuing an investigation so you can either fix a potential problem or rule the problem out. The future health of our staff and children is at stake. If you really wanted to find out if something was amiss in the building, you would not have waited almost a year to have air testing done. I was at many meetings where people were asking for it to be done. One parent even offered to pay for testing, yet it took you till the end of March to get it done. And even so, not done in the best and most thorough way possible. If you wanted to find out if there was something in the air, you would have made sure that the windows were closed during the air testing so the samples taken were not diluted. Maybe when the building was closed would have been a better time. According to a person I spoke to at the DEP, the best protocol for indoor air testing is done with windows and doors closed. If you wanted to find out if there was a problem in the high incident rooms, you would have made sure a canister was placed in at least the room with the highest incident of illnesses. Furthermore, you could have shared the data that the teachers and parents collected with Brinkerhoff Environmental Services. Why wasn't it shared with them until after the testing was completed?
Which data are you referring to?
The data on all the kids, the data on which rooms, the incidents, all of that.
That historical data was shared with them, but not prior to the testing.
Right. My question is, why was it not shared prior to the testing?
I have no response except for my understanding was a matter of timing. The ad hoc committee that was part of that was also part of the audience of those presentations. So, and also gave input onto who was chosen to do the testing. So, it just to me, it was a matter of timing then that the testing was done prior to them seeing that. That information, my understanding, went to part of their recommendations.
Well, the way I see it, a result of that failure is that the room with the highest level of incidence didn't have an air canister placed in it. I guess another question is, why did you do the testing during school hours when air would be diluted by open windows and doors? Because the kids still have to breathe that air in the classrooms when the windows and doors are shut. Are you planning on doing an air test on undiluted air?
If the experts that we have engaged in this process would suggest that, I would bring that recommendation to the board.
Say that again?
If the experts we've engaged in the process, Brinkerhoff Services...
Do you mean Brinkerhoff Environmental?
Yes.
They're not going to do it. You're telling them what to do. They're not going to do it unless you tell them to do it.
That has been the whole process. We are not experts in environmental science, therefore we brought experts in.
Okay, yeah.
The county health...
Okay.
Department of Health for the state.
Okay, I'm aware of who you've spoken to, because I've spoken to people at the DEP, EPA, the State Department, the County Department, in addition to OMB Watch in Washington, D.C. So I am not happy with how this whole process is done. In addition, I know that many people in our community are not familiar with the facts. For example, there's many misleading statements that I think you have made, and here's a few samples. The most recent one is in the papers. It states that the air at Patrick McGarren is clean. Brinkerhoff recommends further testing for radon as well as pesticides. If further testing is recommended, then the air cannot be labeled as clean. The radon in the water came back high. That, to me, is not a clean building. Way back in the beginning, you stated that RK Environmental was recommended to you as an environmental testing group to conduct testing to determine if Patrick McGarren is a cancer cluster. Yet, that's not their area of expertise, and the letter of recommendation was not even to you, but it was written to someone else in 1998, and it wasn't even for a cancer cluster type of study. In addition, they're not licensed by the state to work in the schools. An article at NJ.com, written on August 27th, you're quoted as stating that no children were involved, yet the numbers given to me by the state said that there were more than 20 adults and 7 children. And by the way, that number does not include people who you couldn't contact because of either moving out of the area or leaving the area. And why were these numbers not made public? People can't make an accurate assessment of the safety of their children if we're not given accurate information. Many people have said to me, oh, there's no problem at the school, there's no children involved. And that's clearly not true. You continually say that all is fine at Patrick McGarren. I remember back to school night you said that, but in reality, when I spoke to the New Jersey Department of Health in the fall, they said that although it doesn't appear to be a cancer cluster, because of the high incidence of illnesses, it needs to shift to an environmental study. Why that didn't happen until the spring. I don't understand why it took so long, and why you didn't make it public back then in the fall that it was supposed to go shift to an environmental investigation. I know they told that to you. Another thing is PIOSH was brought in October for an environmental survey. That led us to believe that they were going to test for what could be causing illnesses in the building. But all they did was a very basic check for following procedures, such as having MSDS on hand, which is the material safety data sheets for chemicals, et cetera, which is, I guess they list that as a hazard communication, recording and reporting of occupational injuries and illnesses. And in addition, you led us to believe that PIOSH was going to do a full air quality test, but all they did was a CO2 test, and that was done, again, on a day when windows were open. That kind of thing has no bearing on the situation at hand, and it seems like it was just another misleading installing tactic. The superintendent of our schools should be an advocate for our children, especially when a potential health and safety risk presents itself. The issue should be dealt with expeditiously and truthfully, to ensure the safety of our children and staff. I don't believe you've done this. This clearly demonstrates that you don't have the best interest of our children and staff at hand. This is not representative of who our superintendent should be. We want a problem solver. We want someone who cares for the education of our children and someone who cares about the health and well-being of our staff and children. We have so little concern for the members of our community that you stalled on such an important issue, then I think it's time to get a new superintendent. So please keep this in mind when making the decision to renew his contract. Thank you.
Thank you.
Laura Freda, 14 Grandin Terrace. I just have to say, I was part of the environmental committee, and we did ask, Maria Grant and I actually both asked to have them see it ahead of time, but Kevin said that he wanted to see them, what they came up with first, and not show them what we already had. And Maria and I felt that we should tell them so they're not wasting time looking at the stuff she's already looked at, so that, you know, we could speed it up and get to the more important issues and really, you know, cut to the chase.
Actually, that wasn't said by me in that meeting, Laura. That was said by another person who was actually an environmental engineer, I do believe. Shared with Brinkerhoff, and I'll get them to give the exact statement
But it was suggested, so, you know, if that were the case, why didn't you jump in and say, well, I think they should have the information ahead of time and not let them go ahead and, you know,
because as part of that ad hoc committee, we brought in at least two people who had backgrounds in environmental science and gave us their input towards that. And I do believe that one person did say that, not myself.
Okay, well, I remember it differently, but that's fine. The other thing is, we also had asked that both, after we found out that the windows had been left open, we asked that why don't they do both, do the other one with the windows closed. So that way we have a general consensus both ways, so we weren't wasting any time. We had plenty of time to do it, but that wasn't done either. And we haven't had any meetings, we haven't had any contact again since Brinkerhoff's been here with the ad hoc committee, which I don't understand why you haven't sent something out like, are we going to go over the plan that they went with, saying, are we going to do the extra work? I mean, is the environmental committee now done with and you're just going to make the decisions? Or are we still a committee and we're still going to have conversations?
We're still a committee. What came back was from the discussion here, from one of our ad hoc committee members at the mic, was the possibility of getting an estimate for radon at all the other buildings. We've gotten that estimate and it's gone to the Finance Facilities Committee, and that's where it sits.
Actually, there's one more development from that. It came up at the Finance Facility Committee that the scope of adding, they came back with one proposal, which was to do the testing at PMG. Then, if you remember, it came up at night, well, let's do some radon testing at the other three schools. Mm-hmm. We went back, they came back. That proposal was rather pricey. So the Facilities and Finance Committee said, you know what, is there a way to do like a little bit of a scaled down testing at the other three schools? I reached out to them. I just got my response this morning that kind of said, we don't really feel we could stand by a scaled down testing scenario. We feel like it's almost like a, hey, if you want us to really do this, this is the way we're telling you to do it. The committee doesn't even know that email came today. But the process has been worked on a continual basis since Brinkerhoff appeared that evening. You know, you send them an email and then they do their work and it takes 2 or 3 days. Then you go back and say, well, what about the other three schools? Then they take 2 or 3 days. Then you go back and say, scale it down. So the process has continued.
Right, but my point is that there's no communication with the people that are on the committee so that we know that you're actually doing something. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know if you're considering anything because no one said anything to us. I've not gotten an email from anybody saying, you know, let us know what you think, let us, you know, do you want to have a meeting, do you, you know, whatever. But I've heard nothing from anybody and I'm, you know, and I'm just wondering what's going on.
The board committee is, the Finance and Facilities Committee has been the structure that we've been working through.
Okay, so when is the ad hoc committee going to have input or thoughts or a meeting or something to say what?
I'm actually waiting for direction from the Finance Facility and Brinkerhoff where they stand, mm-hmm. and when we could meet again, either prior or post that round of radon testing. And so the recommendations came out from that, which right. is the board accepted all those and wanted more information regarding the radon. So whether or not we meet pre or post It really comes down to the timing of when they get started, which looks like July.
Right, and I understand all that, and that's fine, but as what I think, and this is only my own opinion, is that communication is really not very good between Kevin and the community and Kevin and the board. And it's just things that, you know, I sit here every Monday for the meetings and I listen, and you know, I don't hear anything, any future stuff for you, any future, like, this is what I want to do for the Clinton Township kids, this is what I want, where I want to bring us. All I hear is, you know, two kids were suspended for fighting and one kid was suspended for something else, and I never hear what you're going to do for us, what your plans are for the next 3 years, or what you think where we should be. I don't hear any of that. And when you're reviewed by a boss, they want to know what your plans for the future. Where do you want to be in 5 years? What do you want to do? You've said nothing, and I've asked you this at numerous meetings. Where do you see us going? Where do you see our school district going? Where do you want our kids to be? Where, anything, and I've gotten zero response. I've not seen anything on the wiki. I said, put it out in the Clinton Township paper. I've seen nothing. I said, put it on the wiki. I've seen nothing. There's nothing from you. So as far as I'm concerned, you don't want us to be anywhere. You want things status quo, and that's how I'm looking at it, because I'm not getting any information out of you. So as far as I'm concerned, when you get reviewed, which is what they're supposed to be doing, reviewing your job, what you've done for us, and what you plan to do in the future, if you haven't told them what you want and what you expect and where you want Clinton Township to be, how can anybody rate you good, bad, or indifferent? You haven't told us anything. So I ask you to please do something and tell us where you see Clinton Township. Where do you want the Clinton Township kids to be? Because my three kids are part of that Clinton Township kids, and I want to know where you see them being, how they're going to grow, how what the school district's going to do for them, since we pay a lot of money in taxes, and I want to make sure that I'm getting my money's worth. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren.
Stan Gully, 115 Petticoat Lane, Annandale. I have a 12 to 13 page letter that I intend to email all of you, and I believe under OPRA, anything submitted to the board can be a matter of public record, so I would like it to be made public if that's appropriate protocol and procedure. I just want to highlight a couple of points. The first thing is I did research, a lot of research, because I'm an academic. And I found that educational systems can yield 9 to 16% increased property value premiums, a high quality school district. So you have a real economic responsibility and impact as a board and as a superintendent on the economic viability of our community. I detail a lot of other issues there. Nearly 30 years ago, the American Association of School Administrators and the National School Boards Association stated that informal evaluations cannot provide the board with a complete picture of a superintendent's effectiveness in carrying out his or her complex job, and that you should seek multiple sources of input and evaluate that against the goals and strategies. The AASA details eight professional standards: leadership and district culture, policy and governance, communications and community relations. And we've heard how the culture is working and how the communications and community relations is working. Organizational management, we've heard something about that. Curriculum planning and development, we've heard something about that. Instructional management, human resources management. In a previous meeting, we heard about this, the desire of the board to hire full-time people. And yet, under your direction, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, 10 out of 12 recent hires were all part-time, not full-time. And values and ethics of leadership. So is there empirical evidence that any of this matters in terms of the leadership? Well, there was a study done that combined 27 separate studies that included 2,714 districts, 4,434 ratings of superintendent leadership, and 3.4 million student achievement scores. And did it matter? Yes, there's a significant relationship between supervisory leadership and behaviors and district performance, the educational quality of our future kids, our future society. And what they found was that a one standard deviation change in leadership scores equated to a change in average student performance from about the 50th percentile to the 60th percentile. That is a huge jump, people. I understand standardized testing. This is not small. This is a huge difference. And what was really important there? Well, one of the most important things was collaborative goal setting that involves all relevant stakeholders, including office staff, building level administrators, board members, in establishing goals for the districts, and commitment to those goals was critical for monitoring achievement, and an instruction and curriculum that was guided towards those goals was an important part of achieving excellence. So yes, empirically it matters. And furthermore, as part of the evaluation process, the New Jersey School Boards Association recommends that a comprehensive evaluation of a superintendent has three parts, and the last part's going to be really important to you. First, progress toward district goals and objectives. I'm not even sure what those are other than as they're detailed in bullet point form. Demonstration of executive skills and the board's evaluation of its own performance. The QSAC form, that is a form for evaluating district effectiveness, says that the school board, our advisory board, annually undertakes a self-evaluation process which reflects the highest priority is given to student achievement. So given this previous commentary, my comments here, I think it is clear that it's inappropriate and irresponsible to award any contract without taking into account our input and detailing the process that we are undertaking. I suggest not awarding a contract to Mr. Carroll, not because I know for a fact whether you're excellent or not excellent. I have had pleasant conversations with you. I don't actually know you beyond that. You seem nice, okay? The reason I suggest not awarding the contract is because if it turns out that you are truly an effective leader and the people rally around your goals and visions and execution, then we can invite you back and you will rise to the top, and perhaps we can even assemble a contract that's better than the one you have. I know you're at the top of your pay grade for a district of our size. I don't know what the flexibility is. But why would you go through that process? Because you might think it's a slap in the face, but it would not be a mark upon you if you are this excellent person, because the contract outcome would be a failure to communicate process and your achievements and your excellence. And if you are such an excellent leader, you would show your commitment to our district and our kids and our public by pursuing the employment with us, because we would want you back if that's the case. And it will give the board a chance to evaluate the input from the public and refute it or rebut it or respond to it. And it would allow you to make the most compelling contract possible for Mr. Carroll. If, on the other hand, the comments that you've heard from me and the other members of the public are actually areas of concern, that it is completely irresponsible for you to award a contract of any length. So I say that there's a balance here that we have to weigh, and I apologize that you happen to be seated in the direction of my comments. Thank you very much.
Any other comments from the public? I'd like to thank everyone for coming tonight. I will entertain a motion that we go into executive session. So moved. So moved by Mark.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Going into executive session.
Action will not be taken upon return.